welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host, James Kincaid, and El Jefe of this podcast. With me, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Aw, snap. How's it going?
It's going well, Jeff. Welcome back. And if you somehow stumbled upon us by mistake, in this temple, we podcast about the best thing in pro wrestling, and that is, of course, Lucha Underground on El Rey Network. Right off the bat, we have launched, and we are now live on Audio Boom, Google Play, and by the time you hear this, we should be on iTunes as well. I want to give a big thank you to Brendan and Emily at Audio Boom. They helped us get all set up with this and everything like that, and have been really helpful throughout the course of this launch as we sort of spin off from the Best Damn Nerd Show, which is, again, where we originate. So feel free to check us out on Twitter at the BDNS if you like the Best Damn Nerd Show. But also, we are launching...
Screw that sinking ship.
Love it. I like the confidence. But yeah, so we are launching our new social medias for Lucha Lowdown as well, as to differentiate. So please give us a follow on Twitter at Lucha Lowdown, and we're going to roll out more as we go. You can find us on Facebook as well. For the interim, we're going to keep putting everything on the BDNS just to get more eyeballs and everything like that on it as we go along here at Lucha Lowdown. Very excited. I am... mic flag, I am looking at the little insert I got at Comic-Con of Katrina. So it's nice. I feel like I'm decorating the studio already with all my luchiness, and it's no offense to you, Jeff, but it's a very pretty face to look at while we do Lucha Lowdown.
Yeah, somebody didn't pick me up one. Did pick me up a Dario one, but yet lo and behold, I can't find it.
I may have taken it by mistake. I was keeping them safe. I had them all in a nice little stack, and then, you know, sure enough, I packed the one that I did so magnanimously get for you by mistake into my suitcase. But it just means you're going to have to come visit and grab it. So welcome back to Lucha Lowdown. Again, we're off and running now. Let's get into it, because the biggest news this week, and, I mean, it was big, and I guess I shouldn't have been so surprised, because we're not really that far off from season 3, as we're pretty much, you know, getting about to midway point of August here.
Less than a month.
Yeah, season 3, September 7th on El Rey Network. So the season 3 trailer hit, and it hit. I loved it. I want to break down the trailer with you tonight, Jeff. Your initial just thoughts when you first saw it.
It's what I texted you earlier. Just the showmanship and the presentation that Lucha Underground does, it blows the other wrestling competitions out of the water. And it's partly because, like we've said, it's a TV show and not just a wrestling promotion, so the production value is there. It is like watching like a trailer for a movie or the new season of some television series that you're getting excited for, like Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. The production value for a trailer for season 3 of a wrestling show, I mean, you know, WWE now, To their credit, they do great videos and promos and stuff like that for their pay-per-view and matches and stuff like that. But yeah, I never really thought about it in the context. It's like, man, you know, now we're getting these trailers just to bring us back to the show, which adds this whole new level of excitement. And I thought they nailed it. I mean, I watched it and I was blown away. I had to watch it again immediately just to sort of take in everything, because it moves very – it starts out, you know, slow with, you know, the imagery and everything like that, but then things move – very fast, and you have a lot to take in, and I want to go over all those things. But yeah, my initial reaction was, holy crap, September 7th can't come soon enough. But it will be here before we know it, I hope. And again, you mentioned just before we came on the air, even just the music in the trailer was awesome. Just the epic sort of haunting music they have playing in the background of this was great. It reminded,
well, yeah, like you said, it hits on all notes, you know?
Yeah, and it kind of reminded me of almost like a Battlestar Galactica-esque type of theme sort of deal in the background. I don't know.
So you just screwed it all up? Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. So some of the things that jumped out to me in the trailer, Jeff, immediately I thought of you when I saw Mil Muertes walking towards the mirror in a suit, because I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast yet, but Jeff, you have an affinity. You like luchadors when they wear their masks with suits. Why is that?
I love the idea that that's their identity everywhere they go. That, like, thinking about just famous luchadors wearing suits, I'm thinking of like Mil Máscaras when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I love the idea of like big hulking luchadors wearing suits, but they've still got their masks on. It looks cool. It's the same reason I also like King Cuerno's outfit. It doesn't even have to be a suit. Just seeing them dressed as regular people.
Yes, and we do get King Cuerno in his cowboy outfit.
And he looked awesome.
He did look awesome. He's giving a very intense mean mug at the camera there, which we got from a few different people. But outside of seeing Mil Muertes pop up, the thing that maybe jumped out to me the most from this whole trailer is it's I see Melissa Santos out on the town, and who's that? Who she grabs the face while masked of which luchador? Phoenix. In a very loving, very romantic way. I don't know how to feel about this, Jeff. How are you feeling?
Heartbroken is how I'm feeling about it. My love for Melissa Santos is not a secret, at least between us. I don't think we've had a chance to talk about it on the podcast.
Well, it's out there now.
And it's bullshit because I'm a fan of Phoenix, and I just feel like he's wronged me somehow.
In my notes here, I just said, is that Melissa Santos? All caps. With Phoenix? Talk about a heel turn.
Well, she turned her high heels in his direction when he became the highest decorated luchador.
He's the first triple
crown history.
He's triple crown champion.
Yeah, he's a triple crown champion. So he's riding high. He had a thing going with Katrina, and now he's got a thing going with Melissa Santos. It's not fair, man.
The rich get richer.
Yeah.
His success. He gets the gals, as it were.
This is ridiculous.
The chica's like Phoenix, but the one thing I will say about that is that so we see this in the trailer, and I don't know how much of this we're gonna get in the actual show. Maybe it was just something for the trailer, but that seems to possibly at least indicate that Melissa Santos will be involved in a storyline outside of her just being the ring announcer, which they sort of teased before with her involvement with Marty the Moth, and of course Pentagon attacking her and everything like that, which was the catalyst for the feud with Vampiro. But so maybe we're going to get more from Melissa Santos. She kind of alluded to as much in our interview with her at Comic-Con. Interesting, I would say. What are you thinking?
No, I like it. I like the idea that everyone's involved in the storyline. It makes it seem a little bit more epic and more of it just being an actual story being told. We're like the referees in a regular wrestling match and, the announcers and the commentators – they're all kind of just like wall dressing, or they're really just there for us. I like what Vampiro's doing with the story. I want Stryker kind of involved a little bit more. And yeah, I have no problem Melissa Santos having a relationship with a wrestler. She could be kidnapped or captured, and Phoenix has to save her. I mean, this is kind of exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And Melissa Santos she's great, and she's an actress as well. So I have no doubt she's going to pull it off very well. And yeah, it's just... she's an actual character, and that's another thing that we discussed. She's not just a ring announcer, like you just alluded to. She is a fully formed character, which is why when, like, a Pentagon comes out, she's not stoked when she announces that Pentagon, even when the fans are cheering for him, this guy tried to break her arm, so she doesn't like Pentagon. She is creeped out by Marty the Moth, stuff like that.
Exactly. I want everybody playing a part in the play, basically.
Yeah.
I want everyone bought in. It makes it more fun that way.
Yeah. And you mentioned Matt Stryker wanting to play more of a role. I thought about that, too. It's like, Matt Stryker was a wrestler, and I really enjoyed his work. So I would be down to see, him maybe if he wants to, if Vampiro's refusing to fight Pentagon or whatever, whatever's going on, see him step back in the ring and maybe fall victim to Pentagon Dark would be a welcome thing for me. I think I think that would be a cool place to take the story next. So I would like to see.
Maybe Stryker getting attacked is what would have to light the fire under Vampiro's ass.
Yeah, though, to what we did see, I mean, Pentagon like super kicked the crap out of him. Yeah, I mean, Pentagon super kicked the crap out of him at Ultima Lucha. So I would think that Matt Stryker, he's a proud guy. He wants some revenge too. So we'll see if he busts out the trunks again and gets in the ring. But I'm very interested to see that. But back with the trailer. My next note is ninjas, carnies, and Mundo. Oh, my.
Dude, I'm so glad you said ninjas next because I was so excited for that. First, you see the sword dragon on the ground, and then you see more than one ninja.
Yes.
We're getting fucking ninjas, man.
Dude, it's her whole clan of ninjas. The Black Lotus is bringing her posse to the temple, it looks like. That is awesome. And we've touched on that this show, like, it's pro wrestling, but man, it has so much that feels like Mortal Kombat come to life in this. And this is just another reason why. I mean, we're getting a clan of ninjas that's going to be stopping by the temple this season. Sign me up. That sounds awesome. So you're pro ninja, I take it.
I've been pro ninja since I was a little kid, so I'm definitely still pro ninja. And also, I like the idea that she'll be playing a bigger part this season, hopefully, as that story continues to unravel.
Yeah, and perhaps, I mean, maybe it's me. You know, there's going to be hell to pay for somebody. So then we get the ninjas. We get that Carney group, which looks. I'll tell you this. I have a friend of mine. He's a manager for pro wrestling. He works the indies up here in Northern California. And he has a gimmick that is very Carney-esque in nature. He's like a ringmaster type guy. And like I think he even works with a group called like the Evil Carnival or the Creepy Carnival. And so I texted him immediately. I was like, dude, I was like, are you in Lucha Underground and you did not tell me? And he's like, I just watched the promo. Certainly looks like some Carney stuff, right? And I was like, that wasn't a denial. And he started laughing. He's not in this season, or so he says. But that's immediately what I first thought of when I saw these guys. Apparently, that's Paul London is the main Carney-looking dude, former WWE Tag Team Champion with the Brian Kendrick in WWE. So I haven't seen Paul London pop up for a bit, but, another trio popping up to challenge the champions, it looks like. So that can, you know, I'm into that. You know, let's add the Carneys in. They have the place in Lucha Underground. And then we see Johnny Mundo adding a fourth member of his team, it looks like. So I don't know if maybe we're not getting him back into the singles ranks, or I don't know, but they all
or maybe
good.
That guy will kind of replace him in the trios, and he'll just sort of be the leader of that group.
That is a great point as well. And then so outside of Melissa Santos and Phoenix carrying on in the sidewalk there, the main thing that I think really stuck with me that you know she was not a necessarily you know I didn't think she really stood out in season two with her debut, but Cobra Moon is awesome in this trailer in her Serpentor throne. It's straight out of G.I. Joe / Shao Kahn Mortal Kombat. I loved it.
/ Masters of the Universe with King Hiss.
Yes, / Masters of the Universe. But that was awesome to see. I'm all about that. I don't know where that is. Perhaps some sort of subterranean area in the temple. I don't know. But Cobra Moon looks like I might be a fool for having left her off my list as far as a breakout luchador this season. I was all about that. How do you feel about the throne room and what you saw from Cobra Moon?
The throne room was epic. I was excited to just get some more female talent last season when she came in, but they hadn't really done that much with her other than like the weird stalkerish vibe thing that she was doing.
With Daga, yeah. So,
yeah, who I also like and I feel has been kind of underutilized, so I'm hoping that he plays a bigger role this season as well. And I don't know. Yeah, we'll see where it goes from there. But as far as the set design goes, I thought it was cool as hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, yeah, if she does, like, snake attacks on people or something, like, sky's the limit, Lucha writers. Do whatever you want. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and jumping ahead, since we're talking about her in the throne right now, you know, after we get the Lucha Underground sound effect, then we go back to that sort of the Serpentor throne room with Drago in there, and he just blows out a big old fireball. And it didn't look like he was chained up, but there were definitely chains behind him. So I would love it if some matches took place, you know, some sort of
dungeon match.
Yes, with like Drago tied up or Aerostar or whatever. Man, I'm into it.
How many Mortal Kombat wallpaper matches are we supposed to have?
All of them.
Because with like Mil Muertes on the throne last season, which was just like Shao Kahn in his throne room, and now you want to have like the acid pit in the bridge too?
Yes, I do. I think sign me up for more. I thought it worked last season, and we'll see where it goes from there. But that was, yeah, that was just great to see. And then. This is we see Marty the Moth just completely all tied up and looking like an utter psycho, and I just like to believe that that's what he does in between matches. That's just where
they just tie him up and keep him steady.
Yep, he's just sitting there, and then Mariposa comes and unties him when it's time to go out there. But yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. Obviously, one of the things that jumped out to me also was the Son of Havoc involvement. Looked like there's like. It wasn't necessarily a mirror match, but he was fighting with somebody that also had Havoc-esque gear. Could that perhaps be Daddy Havoc? What do you think, Jeff?
I was kind of thinking about that as I was just rewatching it before the episode, because I remembered that I wanted to talk about Son of Havoc because I knew that he had this cool fight in the trailer. Then when I was looking at it again, I was like, hey, he kind of is going against another Son of Havoc. So, yeah, I don't know if that's Havoc.
It could be.
I don't know if that's some sort of evil magic clone that was created.
Anything's possible.
Or it could just be that you and I didn't look closely enough and it's just another guy who has a similar outfit. I don't know what it is.
It could be any of that. And that's the whole thing, though, is that, you know, as we're doing this, I don't want spoilers. I purposefully avoid them because this is like my, oh, yeah. Like how people like get bent out of shape about Game of Thrones spoilers, and rightfully so. This is something that I really don't want spoiled. I come in every week not knowing what's going to happen in spite of the fact that it's taped in advance. And if I really went digging, I could probably find it. But that's not what I'm interested in. I love the storytelling and I love to be surprised by Lucha Underground. So I'm interested to see who that character actually turns out to be. But yeah, my immediate reaction was, oh, is that Havoc's dad? that's just where my mind went, with nothing to base it off of, just as that's the synapse that's fired in my brain, was that, yeah, that could be Daddy Havoc. But we will see. And then one of the other things, the last two things that jumped out to me about the trailer, Puma and Vampiro getting into it. I don't know. Dude,
Puma Dark? Because it looks like he's wearing his Player 2 mask again.
Yeah, there was not a lot of Puma in this trailer, too. He was very minimal. But yeah, it looked like Vampiro might, he looked like he was like about to rip out Puma's throat, which I was, you know, I love Vampiro and I love Puma. I don't want to see either one of them get the axe, as it were.
And he's trying to absorb Puma's energy so that he can go against Pentagon Dark. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
Just spitballing. And then Pentagon Dark's new outfit looks sick. I like that a lot. I don't know if that's what he's going to be wearing to the ring or how stylized it was for the trailer. But I thought with like the whatever the kanji script, the Pentagon thing on his chest and everything, it looked awesome. And I thought it was an improvement over his outfit at Ultima Lucha Dos. Anything that I missed that jumped out at you at the trailer?
Other than the ninjas, we did see a little bit of sword fighting. I don't remember off the top of my head who was swinging swords, but I do remember that. I'm excited about it. Also, the cops. There was some sort of scuffle or whatever going on in the interrogation room.
Yeah, that's right. Joey Ryan and Cortez looked like they were getting into it.
And we did get one shot of Lorenzo Lamas, so I was excited about that.
Yes, absolutely. So Lorenzo will be back this season. But overall, man, I mean, they packed a lot. Oh, we got some Killshot in there, too, which we didn't talk about. It looks like Killshot might have a partner or a squad mate that might be joining this season, too.
Kind of like Guile and Charlie, man.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think it looks like that, they just beautifully done trailer. We're going to get 40 episodes.
It reminds you how thick the roster is, too. You know, there's a lot of storylines going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is going to take us to you mentioned how thick the roster is. It's going to take us to sort of our countdown of the week here that we're doing as we get you ready for Season 3 to launch on September 7th on El Rey Network. I want to talk about wrestlers that we'd like to show up in the temple and become luchadors for Lucha Underground. Now, these can either be independent free agent guys or guys in another promotion that you feel like might be being misused. Anything like that. I believe one of my guys on the list actually just signed with WWE, so he probably is not coming anytime soon. But you never know, because I'm not confident that he will be used correctly, and I think he'd be better served in Lucha Underground. And I want to say this off the bat, I do not necessarily saying that. I mean, Lucha Underground is doing quite well for themselves with the talent that they're bringing in, and I do not want to see them fall into the trap of just bringing in guys from other promotions just because maybe for the moment they have a name, because I think at a certain point it hurts your value of your brand if you're just going to bring in guys that made their name elsewhere in a bigger promotion or what have you. And Lucha Underground has walked that line very well to this point, and I think they will continue to do so.
We're not here to rock the boat.
Yeah, so with that being said,
this is all hypothetical.
Yeah, so with that being said, my honorable mention that I have is Ryback. And I almost left him off entirely because, again, I do think Lucha Underground has a need to protect their overall aesthetic, and you don't want Lucha Underground just to become that haven for former WWE guys or whichever promotion, and certainly not if they take away from the visual aspect of Lucha. And Lucha Underground, they have some smaller athletes, you know, compared to some other promotions, like especially WWE, which loves the bigger guys. But, you know, in Lucha Underground, you know, you look at like a Mil Muertes or a Matanza, they look bigger. You know, they do a very good job with the production value, making these guys look so much larger than life, and they play their roles so well. So if you bring in a guy that, you know, maybe would tower over them, it might take away a little bit. And that's kind of why I went back and forth on Ryback. He's 6'3", you know, which is bigger than a lot of guys in Lucha Underground. However, the what makes him on this list is him squaring off in the ring with Cage has appeal to me. I mean, just two absolutely yoked guys. You know, maybe they were part of the same experimentation program. I don't know. But
like Universal Soldier.
Yeah, but something like that. So that was my honorable mention. Jeff, what honorable mentions do you have?
Yeah, Ryback is not on my list, not even as an honorable mention. It's not that I don't feel he doesn't have a place in professional wrestling. It's just, yeah, not Lucha. I don't think that's the right place for him. I have two honorable mentions. One is Austin Aries.
All right.
Who is in the NXT right now.
I love Austin Aries.
I love Austin. I was a huge fan of his from TNA, and I was excited that he's now under the WWE umbrella, and I think he kind of has the skill set and the size that would fit in very well with Lucha. I prefer him as a heel, obviously, so I would want him to do something like that. He's the kind of guy I think who would fit right in with Mundo and his group.
Yeah, absolutely, he would.
Yeah, and then my other honorable mention would be a blast from the past for Lucha. It would be Alberto Del Rio.
Aha! Aha!
Because I almost had him on my list, but I kind of want to talk about the other guys a little bit more. With Alberto, I just feel like since he's gone to the WWE, they haven't really done anything with him. I mean, it not that he doesn't get enough face time. He's definitely always, like, performing, and I think he's on SmackDown now. But, like, I don't see him getting a title anytime soon. And he doesn't have, like, a real story. He kind of just fights guys. He's just sort of like, if they need a decent-sized heel to go against somebody that night,
preach.
It'll be Alberto Del Rio.
Preach, brother. He is on my list. So
yeah.
I will get to him shortly.
And then also, I was just going to say, since I had to catch up before Season 2, and I was already watching Alberto in the WWE, it kind of, like... It cast a shadow over basically his entire run in Lucha for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, it doesn't really matter what he does or what he resolves, because I know that this is basically the end of his story. And I always felt it was very unsatisfying. I like Alberto Del Rio like an evil Zorro, basically. That's how, yeah, I always describe him. I like him with his fancy cars, and I like him just being like a wealthy douchebag. I always thought he would have been like a good, like, rival against Dario, but he's also talent in the ring. But like, maybe he buys shit up as well.
Dude,
something like that. But yeah, they never did anything really with him. I mean, he had his rivalry with Tejano, which was basically pre-Lucha, and then they just kind of fought there, and then that was the end of it, and he went off to WWE. So I always thought that was unsatisfying. So if he ever returned in the future, I think it would be a lot of fun.
Dude, I could not agree with you more, especially with the evil Zorro sentiment, although I do think in the confines of Lucha Underground, he did work as a babyface.
He did, but I just prefer him as a heel.
Him calling out Mundo and stuff like that, how he did, was tremendous. And you're absolutely right. I will get to him when he comes up on my list. But my number five is a guy that, you know, he might not be super well known among everybody, but he does have a following in the internet wrestling community, or the IWC, as it were. But he is somebody that I watched in college when he was at APW. And immediately I was like, dude, this guy's super charismatic. I like his work in the ring. He reminded me of a young William Regal. And he's only continued to improve. Now you might know him as the current and longest reigning champion of Evolve. I'm going with Timothy Thatcher. He really made a big name for himself last year at the Evolve King of the Indies tournament. But yeah, big fan of Timothy Thatcher. Understand if you guys might not be familiar with his work yet, and I know a lot of you are, but check him out. I like him a lot. I think he would be a fresh face for Lucha Underground. Jeff, who's your number five?
My number five, I have them together because they're somewhat of a group, and it's my last WWE guys, actually. It is Fandango and Tyler Breeze.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
It's not so much that they even fit into Lucha, and I think that's where the problem lies, and that's why this is all hypothetical, and I'm glad that we don't have any saying power. But they're so underutilized at WWE. I find it sad whenever I see them fight, because I know it's such a waste. They both have a great look. They've got good talent. They're funny as hell. I liked Fandango before they even partnered him up with Tyler Breeze. And then for the longest time, it was just the two of them going against R-Truth and Goldust like every single week. and nothing against those two either. I like them both as well. But it's like, if I'm watching the same match every Monday, what's the point?
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with you that they're being misused. I think especially Tyler Breeze. I was a huge fan of his in NXT. I think his gimmick is one of the most cutting edge 21st century gimmicks.
Absolutely.
It was the one thing I was like, man, like WWE jumping on, and I assume it was his and Triple H's idea, but jumping on the selfie craze when it happened. And it's a shame that, you know, he didn't get a shot to do it full justice in WWE proper, not just NXT. But I thought it was brilliant. The selfie thing on the way to the ring, and then you incorporate the selfie stick. Just the whole, it's a 21st century model Rick Martel, and
that's exactly who I compare him to.
And
exactly.
He does it so well. He's such a great douchebag. I had high hopes when they paired him with Summer Rae because I thought they could have been Prince and Princess Pretty.
It would have been perfect. I saw them back in October on Monday Night Raw in San Diego. It was terrific.
Yeah, he's got a great theme song, you know, the whole VIP lounge when he watches matches and stuff like that. And then they cut the legs out from underneath him, and he's been languishing ever since. And it's too bad because now he's just a guy that cut. Well, now with Breeze Dongo, they're getting a little bit more of a run. But when he was just sort of floating around, that was tough for me to watch because I felt really bad for the guy.
The show jobber sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They were like pre televised match.
Yeah, I felt really bad for the guy because he's a good worker. I don't know if he'd fit in Lucha necessarily, but, I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of talent.
But if he did come to Lucha, see, he would be the kind of – well, you wouldn't really be able to do the selfie stick and all that because it's not live. But he would definitely be one of those fun, neutral characters where it doesn't have to do with, like, the epic or heaviness of some of the storylines. He'd be more just one of the other contenders in the Temple tournament. Which, I mean, sometimes you need that break, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
In some of the matches. And that's where I think he would fit.
And that's the whole idea of Lucha Underground, too, is that the temple's doors are open for everyone except for Marty the Moth, but he even found his way in. So it all works out.
Now he won't leave.
Yep, and I love him all the more for it. My number four, I would be very stoked on this because I'm a big fan of hers, and I have been for a long time. I thought she didn't get enough run when she was in WWE. That I'm talking about Shelly Martinez, formerly known as Ariel, the vampiress of WWE's ECW brand when she was managing Kevin Thorne. She's almost like a precursor to the Katrina character in a lot of ways. She is similar to Katrina. So she was this vampire character, Ariel, in WWE. And, you know, they would do these backstage segments with, like, you know, the tarot cards or whatever hanging upside down. Her ring entrance when she was Ariel, and she would come and she would hang upside down and everything like that. I mean, she's hot as hell, and it worked. It was so different than anything that I was seeing on WWE programming at the time. And I think she undeniably has a Lucha Underground vibe about her when she had that ring entrance. And so I think whether they bring her in as an aerial type character, she was also in TNA as Salinas when she was with the Latin American Exchange. She's a good talent to have, and I think, you know, maybe you bring her in as another witch. Could she be in Katrina's coven? Maybe they'd feud. Maybe they'd be paired together. I don't know, but I would like to see her involved.
I also just wouldn't mind a little more female talent in Lucha Underground. You know, just a little extra diversity. I mean, not that I don't like all the ones that they have right now. I didn't put a woman on my list, but I was really thinking about it just for, you know, extra competition and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm such a huge fan of her. So I know she's working the indie scene right now. So I would not be surprised if that one actually came to pass. So here's hoping for that and for Shelly Martinez. Who's your number four, Jeff?
My number four is Rob Van Dam.
Oh, wow. That is a good name. Not on my list. I didn't even consider him. Why'd you pick Rob?
I thought about him like a while ago, and then he just recently came to my head again earlier today when I was coming up with the list. I've been a fan of his for years, and I was not a big ECW guy. I don't really care for those kinds of matches, but his just athleticism and raw talent, you know, it can't be disputed. And even though he's a little advanced in age, he's still flying around like, you know, he's crazy. And I know that he's in the indie circuit right now. I completely forgot that he was recently in the WWE just a few years ago. But it was like a real quick blink.
Yeah.
And I would love to see him come in and just kind of like tear shit up.
Dude, that is a great, great pick. I did not even think of it. And I'm a huge ECW fan.
And RVD's got a huge fan base, like wherever you go. Cause like I said, no matter how you feel about ECW, RVD is one of those guys who I feel has just got universal appeal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was talking with a coworker of mine today about one of the things I think appeals to so many people about Lucha Underground is that you can come in, you work this schedule. It's a TV show. So you're not just wrestling, you're acting, and it's providing you with the ability to take on these other opportunities. I know Rob Van Dam has done some stand-up
unique
work.
Unique
opportunities indeed. But I know like Rob Van Dam, he's done some stand-up. He has dipped a toe into some acting, and I think this would be another great opportunity for him. That's a great pick, Jeff. And I mean his style, man. Could you imagine like RVD versus Prince Puma or something like that? That would be insane.
Poetry in motion. That's what I call those kinds of matches. It would be so much fun to watch.
Yeah, or an RVD, you know, Jack Evans, whatever you want to do. I mean that would be great. All right, so number three. You mentioned it before, but number three on my list is Alberto Del Rio / El Patron.
I was going to say El Patron, actually. Yeah.
Yes, I prefer Alberto El Patron myself. There would be no greater return of someone we have already seen in Lucha Underground than Alberto El Patron. I feel like he was really just starting to come into his own towards the end of season one with that feud with Johnny Mundo. And then he was gone. Like you said, it was unsatisfying. And he really has like some unfinished business. And he's being wasted in WWE right now. There's no doubt about it. And there's rumor that he's unhappy with his push right now that apparently he feels – I mean, this is, again, internet rumor. This is dirt sheet stuff. But that he feels misled, that he was supposed to get a title push a lot sooner than what he's gotten. And I guess plans change. So he's apparently not very happy, although he is dating Paige. So he has a lot to be happy about there.
Nice.
But, I mean, I think for him, I think coming to Lucha Underground I think it would be great for him to come back. You know, he would be a huge star. He'd be one of the faces of the company. I got so happy in the police station scene this season when we saw like his photo on the wall as far as everything like that goes. Like, man, I want Patron to come back. So that's one I'm hoping for. I certainly wish him all the best in WWE and everything like that, and I hope he gets his stuff straightened out there. But it's like, if it doesn't work out, I know he would have a great place in Lucha Underground. Who is your number three?
My number three is James Storm.
Ooh, I do like James Storm, and I love Beer Money in TNA. Why'd you pick James Storm?
Because I just feel that like now in TNA, with him on his own and that Beer Money doesn't exist right now, like, you know that I started rewatching TNA just because of the broken Matt Hardy incident.
Yes.
So I'm following some of the other storylines, and I think he just became like King of the Mountain champion or whatever they call it. And that's great and all, but it's not what it was a few years ago, back when I was a much bigger TNA fan. And, you know, he still had Bobby Roode and he had AJ and he had all those guys. And, you know, they were definitely like the forefront stars of the show. And they were always in the conversation for all the important titles. He obviously was always, if not the tag champion, you know, in the running to at least compete for it. And then like once Bobby turned heel and the two of them had a pretty decent feud for a while. So I just feel like right now he's sort of being wasted. I was imagining what he would do with Lucha. I don't think we've talked about this because we've only done the one episode, but I'm also a big Tejano fan. And I just see the two of them as a couple of badass cowboys.
Oh, I like that.
Kicking ass in bars. And they could either be rivals and then turn allies, or they could just be watching each other's backs now. Something like that.
Dude,
I think that would be great.
You are hitting rocks tonight, my friend, because that sounds awesome. That would be a great tag team. Man, I really like that idea, because you get two cowboys, two vaqueros riding with each other. That would be sick.
Because one of my favorite cinematics that they did, I think it was last season, it may have been the very beginning, was Tejano just hanging out in a bar, and then he got ambushed by those guys and just kicked the crap out of them. I love that, and I wish they would do more of that with him. And I know he did the bar fight back in Ultima Lucha Dos Episode 1.
Yeah.
Just more of that would be really cool.
Dude, I could not agree with you more. And again, we are breaking down wrestlers that we would like to see, come to the temple. You know, wherever they may be right now, we think that they have a place in Lucha Underground should they desire. So we're giving you our top five wrestlers we'd like to see in Lucha Underground at some point. My number two is somebody, if you've been watching the Cruiserweight Classic on the WWE Network for only $9.99, there's your shameless plug for that. Which
or James gives you his password, and then you can just sort of watch it whenever you feel like.
Sometimes that happens, too. You stay signed in after you visit your buddy in San Diego. He's been in the Cruiserweight Classic. He's been showing out really well. He just got by Tajiri in round two. I'm talking about Gran Metalik. He's a big name in lucha circles and all over the world, and he's young. He's 27 years old. He's definitely a name in a lot of, all over the world. He'd be a good guy to swoop up. Unfortunately, previously in an interview, he said he was not contracted beyond the Cruiserweight Classic. I am seeing conflicting reports that it looks like he has been signed by WWE and will be a part of their new Cruiserweight division, which I completely understand because he's a hell of a talent in the ring, and I hope he finds a lot of success there. But he'd be another just a great luchador to have in the temple would be Gran Metalik. So we'll see what happens there. Jeff, you're number two.
Well, before I go into that, I really do hope that they push that Cruiserweight division and just really bolster that full of talent because I think that'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
My number two, Christopher Daniels.
Ooh, yeah.
I love Chris Daniels. He's very funny. I feel he kind of fits into any situation that you need him to be. We know that some of the talent at Lucha sometimes double dip as extra characters. We could always throw in Curry Man as well.
That's true. You'd get two for the price of one.
You get two for the price of one. And if we want to bring Frankie Kazarian with him, all the better. But yeah, I would love to see Chris Daniels come into Lucha Underground, and he could really do whatever he wants. He could be face or heel. I prefer him as a heel because he is very funny.
Yeah. No, he's a hell of a talent, too. He's a guy that I kept an eye on since I read WOW Magazine, which is, of course, World of Wrestling Magazine back in the day. Always liked following his career. He is really, really talented. And from every circle I've heard, a really good guy, too. So, yeah, that would be an awesome one. Good call. Dude, your list is killing it, man.
I know.
I'm digging it.
Killing it.
Your ideas are great. All right, let's get to our number one
pick.
Lucha,
hire me.
Yes, hire us both. You bastard.
Well, me first, and then if there's room, James as well.
Wow. I'm going to show up as your right
version.
You're
doing a podcast, and you're doing great with it.
Sell me out, drop of a hat. I see how it is.
That's right.
But my number one pick for wrestlers I'd like to see come to Lucha Underground, if you know me, if you follow the Best Damn Nerd Show, then you should probably have guessed this pick. He is who dubbed me Bimbo Jimbo on the Other Guys podcast, which is broadcast on the rock station in San Francisco, 107.7 The Bone. We are the podcast of that station. Cody effing Rhodes. He was misused and abused by WWE. This was a no-brainer number one for me. When I started doing this list, the only one I knew was that Cody Rhodes would be number one on my list. And his creativity, his athleticism, He should have been a world champion in WWE. Every gimmick he was given, he got over. And they gave him some gimmicks that I think a lot of people would have failed with. He got over his mustache. His mustache was a thing. He had a shirt. It was featured. He got that over. He had an amazing Dr. Doom-esque gimmick when his face, his nose got broken by Rey Mysterio, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly. It was a 619 right into his beautiful face.
Yeah, right into his beautiful face. And you just, the whole putting bags over people's heads in the crowds. I mean, I liked the Stardust gimmick, too. He made that work. And so that kind of creativity would be perfect for Lucha Underground. He's already acting on TV. He's going to be in this season of Arrow on the CW. So will it happen? I have my doubts, but there is nobody I would want more in Lucha Underground than Cody Rhodes. Jeff, your thoughts?
The only reason Cody's not on my list is because I knew you were going to be able to cover it this well. He's a no-brainer for me. In addition, I think he's incredibly funny and entertaining. And like you said, everything he did, he succeeded with. And there were so many times when people were underselling him, when he was just one of Randy's little goons.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he was separated from DiBiase, it's like, oh, well, Cody's not going to succeed. And then Cody's the one who basically, rose up. He was the one who actually had a gimmick going and was a character. And I think he even had a title at one point.
Yeah.
Intercontinental or something. Yeah.
He's been multiple time Intercontinental champion, tag champion. Do yourselves a favor. If you haven't watched the tag team match with him and his brother Goldust at Battleground 2013, I believe it was. for the Rhodes legacy. Basically, it was if they lose, his father, his brother, and himself all get fired for good from WWE versus The Shield, versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Dusty Rhodes was at ringside. Dean Ambrose was at ringside. They have a phenomenal pre-match promo. They have a phenomenal entrance. The in-ring work was top-notch. It is one of those it's one of my all-time favorite matches. The story they tell and the emotion in it. And when Cody Rhodes, spoiler alert, everybody, when he hits the finish, man, I still feel it. Like, I still get goosebumps. So, yeah, Cody Rhodes, I can't say enough about the guy. Just a really, really, really good dude and a great wrestler. And I would love to see him and what he could do in Lucha Underground.
Yeah, great talent. And like you said, entirely underutilized in WWE.
Yeah, and they had so many opportunities to do more with him, too. And he really proved himself time and time again. But who's your number one?
It almost feels anticlimactic at this point, honestly. And now that I think about it, he's former WWE as well. It's Wade Barrett.
Ah.
And see, I've been a Wade Barrett fan since back in the Nexus days before CM Punk apprehended it and then destroyed it and sabotaged it just to further yes. his own career. I hate CM Punk. But yeah, Wade, it was the first NWO ripoff since NWO that actually I thought was gaining traction and was successful.
Yeah,
and WWE just shot it down. And then Wade Barrett really never recovered since.
Yeah, he ended up being a little bit injury prone, but he's another guy that he's great on the mic. He's great in the ring.
Solid mic skills, good size, good build, good look, great skills.
I will tell you, when it came out that he was going to be asking for his release, I immediately thought, man, what would Wade look like in Lucha Underground? In my mind, my imagination went to a sort of black luchador mask with a British Union Jack adorning the front. Like, I would put a mask on him. I don't know why. It just, my mind just went there.
If he had the mask, he'd have to remove it at some point because just how recognizable he is.
Yeah, but that's where my mind went, though. It's just like some type of like super British patriotic guy with a Union Jack luchador mask.
I would want him coming in there and just tearing up shop. I would like the idea of him being like a bare fist brawler or something like that, where maybe you could do more of the street fight aspect of it.
Yeah.
Which sometimes talk about with the temple. So yeah, that's more of the avenue that I would explore with him.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's one that I considered putting on my list. I think he would have been on my honorable mentions. I wanted to mention Ryback just because to sort of highlight the detriment of sometimes bringing in people from other promotions where they made a big name. And again, you don't want to throw off what Lucha's got going on because they're accentuating all of their talent strengths really well right now. But Wade would be tremendous. I'm such a Wade Barrett fan. Your list was great. I think my favorite part is the idea of James Storm either feuding or teaming with Tejano. I think that would be just so apropos and perfect for Lucha Underground. So inspired thought process there, Jeffrey. Really good work.
Gracias.
De nada, my friend. With that wraps up our top five wrestlers we'd like to see in Lucha Underground. We talked about the Season 3 trailer. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it and go watch it twice. That is going to do it for Lucha Lowdown this week. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.